Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. This morning, it's my pleasure to introduce Commander Mark Vislake, commander of the CEO of Air Station Sitka. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Rob.
And I don't know why we haven't done this sooner. You've only been in Sitka since June, right?
June, yeah. That's correct. That's when I took over the air station.
Okay. But you have been to Sitka before, right?
I have. I've had a previous tour of duty here for 3 years as a duty standing pilot. So it's my second time in Sitka.
All right. So, and you've been in Alaska for a while. You came down from Kodiak, right?
I did. My tour of duty before Sitka was Kodiak, Alaska, where I was the operations officer at the air station.
Okay. And I know that probably a lot of people, they think the CEO of Air Station Sitka is probably some crusty old guy sitting behind a desk, but you actually fly. You spend a lot of time in the air, don't you?
Well, it's good not to be a crusty old guy. I'm glad you called me that. But I do. I try to get out and fly as much as possible. I'm still a pilot, and there's not too many more years they're going to let me do that. So, yeah, love flying. It's what I came in the Coast Guard to do, so I try to get up as much as possible.
All right. Well, I thought since I had you here and we had 10 minutes or so, we would talk a little bit about preparedness. Because when we get into trouble, you are the guys who come out and get us. And while that in itself is a noble calling, but I think ideally you would rather we didn't get into trouble in the first place, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Alaska's a dangerous place, I think, when you recreate. I think you always have to be prepared. It's a wonderful place. We love doing it. We feel very fortunate to be stationed in Alaska and have that opportunity. And I think a lot of us fall in love with it. But when you go out in the woods and you go on the water, I think the best thing you do is be prepared. With that said is communications to me. We can't come get you if we don't know where you're at. So number one, tell someone where you're going. Tell them how long you're going to be there, whether you're on the water or in the woods, and what's your intentions. You know, you're going to be out there for 12 hours. You're due back at this time. And then carry some way to talk to us to let you know if you're in trouble. There's a lot of ways to do that. You know, if you know you're going to be out of cell phone range or coverage where they work, there's P-PERBs, there's E-PERBs. You know, a P-PERB is a personal device, a radio beacon that you can purchase for a low cost that could save your life. Several of those have saved several folks. There's also new technology. I know I'm not too familiar with it, but hotspots or GPS, little touch button things that you can use. So I would say to folks is number one is know that you can let someone know you're in trouble. Communicate that back to us. And then, you know, if you're in the forest or in the woods and you're under that canopy, it's very difficult to see you sometimes. People are very surprised. We hear a lot of times that they saw us fly over them several times and, you know, they had to move or we didn't get them until the next day or several days. You have to have a way to signal us. So any flares, some orange, different coloring than your camouflage gear or whatever you're wearing is very important so that we can actually find you in that dense forest.
Hey, I had a question that just sure. As you were talking about signaling, I took a kayaking class at the beginning of the summer, and we had kind of a debate among the students in the class, all of whom had been in Alaska a fairly long time, about the value of a signal mirror. I mean, that old Boy Scout signal
Absolutely.
Mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a good thing? I mean, if we're stuck on a beach somewhere, are you going to even notice a signal mirror? You know, against the sort of the ocean, the light off the ocean? I mean, what do you think about the value of a signal mirror?
Oh, absolutely. They're fantastic devices. We actually carry them in our vest. So when we fly, we actually have a survival vest on that we carry, one that assists us to get out of the aircraft. It also provides flotation once we're out of the aircraft that we can inflate. And the other thing is if we're on land, we have a survival kit basically in it. And one of those tools is a signaling mirror. It's an excellent tool to use. We can see it for a couple miles away, if not more, if you use properly, and most of them have the directions right on the back. It's a great tool for us. And we fly with night vision goggles, too, at night. So believe it or not, at night, you know, if you were to just light a fire or if you even had a flashlight or anything like that and just do it on and off, we can see you from miles away under our night vision goggles. So both, you know, the signaling mirror during the day and any kind of to illumination device, if you will, for evenings. It works wonders for us when we're under the goggles.
Great. Okay. Well, to my kayak class classmates, I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong, but the Coast Guard pilots carry signal mirrors in their vests. I'm just saying. I sometimes wonder, and
I'm
sure...
Did I walk into that one?
Not at all. You won't be brought into that dogfight. I think a lot of people also wonder about what it must be like for you guys when you get the call on a day like today. I mean, flying conditions don't seem all that great today. I mean, how does it feel to you when you hear that there's a mission underway and conditions are less than optimal? Maybe that's what you actually look forward to. The harder it is, the more fun it is for you. How does that play out?
Sure. I think one of the things with all everyone in the Coast Guard, no matter what you're doing the job, whether you're on the water in a cutter or you're working in aids to navigation, is it's an adrenaline rush for us. I believe that we're those type of folks that enjoy going out there, putting ourselves out there to save somebody. So when the weather's bad, and yes, it's a little can be very humbling. But you rely on your training, you rely on your experience. We're trained to do this. We go through a lot of practice, if you will, standardization. So, sure, when you go to bed on a duty night and you know the weather's poor, I believe you're a little anxious. And when that alarm goes off that someone's in distress, the first thing we're thinking about is you know, that person that could be out there in the water, or that plane crash in the mountains, or that person that needs that medevac in that remote village that could die if we don't make it to them. So, that kind of, your training kicks in, you rely on that, and sometimes we have to take a little longer to get out there. We can't make it, and we try to get airborne in 30 minutes, but due to the weather of Alaska and the dangers that we face in the transit, we have to take a little more time to plan and be a little more careful of how we're going to get there. And I call it the tyranny of time distance kind of in Alaska. You know, something that could take a direct flight over the mountains, for us, we have to stay low. During the winter, we can't get into icing conditions. The aircraft will ice up, and that causes problems for us. We could basically start falling out of the sky. So we have to stay low. We have these routes that take us in between mountains, and it can be very dangerous, hazardous. But believe it or not, yes, I would say we all enjoy the job. And this was one of the best tours for me. I said this is where I finally learned how to fly, was when I came to Alaska, because I came from Florida, thought I knew the aircraft, thought I... You know, was really good, and when I came up here, I was humbled very, very quickly. You know, going on those first cases up the Haines and Skagway, and down in the southeast and the Wrangell, and getting into the mountain flying, it's a completely different flying, and hoisting someone with 10, 15 foot seas out there, very challenging. But at the end, it's extremely rewarding. We love what we do. It's hazardous, but we're trained for it, and we're cautious. We're very careful when we go out there.
Do aviators in the Coast Guard in general, are they kind of looking forward to getting these Alaska assignments? Or, I can imagine for somebody flying in Florida to meet you and hear the kind of conditions you fly in, they must go, how in the world do you possibly do it?
Yeah, I think one of the things we pride ourselves in all of Coast Guard, especially aviation, is standardization. We preach that someone, for instance, a pilot from Sitka could fly with a pilot from Clearwater, Florida, and all our procedures are the same. Now, your experience based on what I've seen flying in Alaska for, say, a couple years, or someone in Florida hasn't seen that yet, but they may be a little better in other areas, or more familiar with longer range over the water flying as far as hurricanes and high winds and stuff. So everywhere you go in the Coast Guard, there's a different set of challenges. And I think Alaska is just unique in the sense that it's more frequent. That's what I tell folks. We actually, when we come here as pilots, we call it a winter over. You have to spend a winter before you get the keys to the aircraft, if you will, before you become an aircraft commander again. Every pilot that comes to Alaska is an aircraft commander. We start as co-pilots and we work our way up. It's about a two-year process. But even though they're an aircraft commander, they have to wait till through a winter. And that's to just, you know, see the place, see all these conditions, fly with someone who's been here for a year. that has experienced it. But every air station has its unique sense of challenges, and for our crews in the back, our rescue swimmers and our flight mechanics, they're top notch. They're folks that put themselves on the line every day, and I don't know, to jump out of a perfectly good aircraft as a rescue swimmer is a pretty amazing feat. And you know, I'm always impressed and take a lot of pride in those folks that work for us, and the flight mechanics and their hoisting to work that cable in those high sea states and keep us over the spot, because when we're hoisting, they're our eyes. We up in front, we're listening to them, and they actually kind of con us around, we call it. So wonderful folks doing great things, and then, you know, the support staff that stay behind, they keep us flying all the time.
All right. Commander Mark Visley is the CEO of Air Station Sitka. Thanks for coming in, Mark, and I just want to let you know that when you guys walk down the street on Alaska Day and the parade and everybody's applauding, they're doing it for a reason. You guys are doing a great job. I'm always amazed how upbeat you are about taking on what must be incredible conditions in Alaska. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for the opportunity.